Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. Podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. Uconnects provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to Uconnects today for a free demo. Uconnects, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite. This is your host, Sean Halter. As a reminder, the CMO Suite is brought to you in part by Uconnects. Uconnects provides digital media solutions to brands and agencies across the U.S. and Canada. We are excited as we start to come around the corner, as we race around the corner here of Season 5, getting into the back half of the stretch, so to speak, to have with us today Tammy Powers. Tammy is the founder at Power Drive Motorsports Futures. Tammy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sean. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I don't actually remember how we initially met. Maybe we met through something on LinkedIn or somewhere along the way. You seem to have a way of working that platform to your benefit.
Oh, absolutely. I remember the day. It was when I softly rolled out Power Drive on LinkedIn. I have so many great people around me on LinkedIn that are so supportive and just so amazing. I've built up a really authentic network there. And I love everybody there. So I slowly rolled out the company in January, and I had never heard your name before or anything. You must have seen the post. Somebody you are connected to liked it or something. And you wrote a note and you said, "This is amazing. I love this. How can I help?" And I'm the type of person that says, if you ask me how you can help, I'm going to figure out a way that we can help each other, right? And so I reached out to you and said, hey, let's have some discovery and see who we know, how it works, and see if we can work together someday.
You're out in Los Angeles. I actually had the chance to kind of come out there a little earlier this year. And as you and I were talking, and I don't remember if I had said I'm coming up to Los Angeles or something, or maybe I might have posted something on Lisa Eichberger's page. But again, it's one of those weird small worlds. It was something where you're like, I actually know Lisa. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And then we get into this conversation. And then ultimately, again, which is almost a little bit stranger, you know, there's a bunch of kind of shared connections in this giant space. I think that's so interesting and unusual and a value to your point that we as marketers didn't really have maybe 8 years ago or 10 years ago. There wasn't anything like that to kind of rethread you in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun, by the way, having tacos and drinks over happy hour. And I missed the collaboration that we have with people and just being able to physically be there with people and share that's the energy and the synergies within the group. It was a great night. It was one of the first times that I had a sort of networking, social interaction, and it was just awesome. So I'm forever grateful for that day. And meeting your sister. How cool is your sister?
I've never met Tammy. It's one of those interesting things.
You won't miss her when she comes in a room. She comes in with guns a-blazing. She sucks all the air kind of out of the room. Everybody kind of turns, and it's awesome, though, because, again, it's one of those things where, you know, you come in with a lot of confidence. And that's something that can be tricky, you know, in this business, especially when you're starting up a new business. That is, you know, can be incredibly overwhelming and can be just challenging to your own mental psyche of like, wow, I'm really jumping in this. So we're going to come back to Los Angeles in a few minutes. I want to make sure we talk a little bit about Lisa Eichberger, who is one of my previous guests on the CMO Suite. If you have not listened to her episode, please do. There's another funny Lisa story in there. I originally stalked Lisa before I had even started this podcast, and she rightfully so said, Do I know you? And I was like, not yet, but you will. Very similar to you in some ways, Tammy. And ultimately, I think we've actually become friends. I got a chance to go hiking with her when I was out in Los Angeles and meet her boyfriend. Let's talk about you. Did you grow up in Los Angeles? I don't recall if that's where you grew up. I knew that's where you spent a chunk of your time, but is that where you were born?
I've spent a chunk of my time. I've been in Los Angeles since the late 90s, but I fortunately grew up in a wonderful state called Michigan, and it's an incredible place to grow up. I mean, we have all the four seasons. We had ice fishing in the winter and Lake Michigan in the summer. It's like a Kid Rock song. It was just like that. It was a phenomenal way to grow up, and I'm really, you know, blessed, and I have a lot of gratitude for growing up there, and, you know, and having just that, you know, blue collar family. You know, your mom stays home, your dad works at Steelcase, you know, I have an older brother, an older stepbrother, and, you know, my brother always had the, you know, the hot rods in the driveway. So I was always following him around and trying to take all that in. And I never, ever thought I would end up in motorsports. And I always tell people, pay attention to your past and look back and see your journey, because you get a lot of your personal questions answered when you do that. And it was a great place to grow up.
I was having the conversation with somebody yesterday
of how important our childhood is to who we become, whether it's the dreams that we're chasing, it's the parents we're still trying to please many years later. It's so powerful. I have an amazing therapist. I love therapy. Therapy's kept me alive and moving. But I do remember talking to her one time about something that was happening with my son, and I was upset with him. And I was like, you know, Mari, he doesn't understand that I'm actually right here. I know that I'm right. And she said, it'll come. And I said, when? And she said, my son's 17, by the way. She said, when he turns 23. And I was like, haha. And she's like, no, it really, I'm like, I've got to wait 6 years?
Yeah.
6 years I've got to wait? To your point, that is, in essence, a lot of what becomes our life. One of the things I love about this show is, again, we try to have, obviously, a lot of VPs of marketing, a lot of CMOs, but we also try to bring some people in that we think will be interesting for marketers and CMOs to know, whether that's an additional or new introduction to the motorsport space, whether that's a new product or platform that's out there that gives them some amazing opportunities, or if it's just a really great, amazing executive who I might feel like is a great connector to a lot of those pieces. And so, again, we appreciate you jumping in. So you said your dad, did he work at Steelcase?
Yes, my dad worked at Steelcase for over 30 years. He never missed a day of work. I remember he came home one day and we had Stroh's on tap at my house. So his beer was Stroh's. He'd come home every day, 3:15. My mom would be there and she would greet him. And the funny thing about it is they called that time for 1 hour their quiet time, where we were not allowed to be around. My mom had my dad's cold beer waiting for him. And I remember one day he came home with a watch, and he was so proud of this watch that Steelcase had given him because he hadn't missed a day of work in 30 years. And he got this watch. And so when you grow up and you remember those types of moments, it's like, you know, your parents, and I always say, and I'm trying to bring this back, it's like, we need the parents to be the role models to the kids. And everyone's so busy and everyone's so stretched thin, but we've got to really grasp those moments with our kids, because it's the little moments like that that takes them through the thread of their life and that they remember. And I get my work ethic from my mom. I get my work ethic from my dad. I get so much from them. But it's those little moments and those little lessons that I think back now and I try to provide for my daughter. I have an 8-year-old. So my child is younger than yours, but I think about what you said. When he's 23, he'll go, oh, and I'm like, wow, it's a long journey. It's a marathon for sure. And God bless all the parents out there.
I remember talking to Jen Say, who's global for Levi's. I was asking her a bit
about some of that work-life balance, and it was interesting because she kind of looked me, you know, straight in the eye. We were at iHeart Studios in New York City, and she had come in for that interview, and she just said, there's just not, you know, she said for her, there's just not. I have to do my best. Some days it's work, and some days it's life, and some days it's family, and I'm just, you know, I'm grabbing a hold as tight as I can, and I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to be a good role model. At the same time, I realize sometimes I'm not a role model, you know. It is challenging for us as men, but it is absolutely incredibly more challenging for women. You have different roles. You have different responsibilities. You just talked about your you know, your mother and your father and this kind of very traditional upbringing, which was important and shaped your life. And yet today is completely different. You know, moms are expected still to be able to carry all of that same initial piece, but yet you also have an opportunity, or you've selected an opportunity, to be able to go out and empower yourself and build something in essence on your own. And so certainly in some ways that challenge becomes, how do you balance maybe some of that? And so add some perspective or some spice onto that piece of how do you still manage to reflect back on the greatness it was of having your mom serve that kind of role, and at the same time feeling like this is, you know, we as women need to be able to kick down these doors and say, not anymore, we're in all the rooms.
You know, interestingly enough, you know, the last year has been super challenging for everyone on the globe. And as far as the collaboration with my daughter during all of this, you know, her being 20 feet away in homeschool and me literally trying to pick up the pieces in motorsports, and how are we going to survive this? Everything was stopped. You know, I was laying off employees. I was spending nights with them on the phone trying to help them figure out how to apply for unemployment. It was tragic. And so, and now my child's home and I'm homeschooling, and I thought, how am I going to get through this? The last year, I can tell you, has been one of the most profound moments for me as a parent, for me as an executive, for me as a partner to someone, to me as a daughter. I haven't seen my mother in a year and a half. A lot of people can relate to that. But as far as it, as the growing up and managing it all as a mom, as an executive, I took that opportunity to learn how she thinks when she's at school. She's seen how I do my work 20 feet away, and we come together on her breaks and we collaborate. And that has been such a gift for our relationship. And when we talk about role models, I've learned so much from her, and she's learned so much from me this last year. It's like she has to go back to school. Like, and you know, in the first few months, I was like, when are they going back? And now it's like, I feel like, oh my gosh, she's going back. And to have the house quiet, like we all want it while we're working from home. I don't know. I'm rethinking that. It's been such a gift.
And obviously for many people, COVID was extremely challenging. Just as you mentioned, whether you're a marketer or C-level or whatever level you're at, you were probably, you were impacted, whether it was employees that work for you or you as an employee, everybody was impacted with that. The parts that you were just talking about with the home piece and the kid piece, I know for me, you know, pre-COVID, that end of 2019, I guess it was, mm-hmm. I remember sitting with my CPA and my accountant and some of my executive team, and I just said, my kids are, they're graduating in a couple of years. And I feel like now I'm becoming that cliche of like, if only I had. And yeah. So I remember sitting with him in December just saying, how can I reorganize to be able to take a little bit of a pause over these last 2 years that my kids are here and spend more time with them? And then as some bizarre, you know, thing happened with COVID, it forced all of us to do that. It was a, you know, I hate to say it was a blessing for me, but it was a blessing for me. And I think for others, the thing that may positively come out of this is just that. Don't wait. Take a breath. You know, think of all those things that you just said, Tammy, that were so overwhelming in your life, and yet here you are. You survived it. You made it through it. And you actually probably came through it in a way that made you feel even more empowered.
Yep.
Are you incredibly closer to your daughter at a moment that you can never go back and potentially recapture? And if nothing else, it forced a lot of us to give ourselves permission. Permission
Absolutely.
To not go in every day working 80 hours a day, so that our kids could buy one more thing that's going to sit in a closet somewhere that we think is what they want, like we think our parents thought that we want, but ultimately think of the memories you just talked about. None of them were, my dad bought me this thing, and that's what I remember, or my mom bought me this thing. It's all talking about their life and how that impacted your life. And so with that, you did ultimately get out on your own, and you transitioned into racing, and you were in racing for most of your career to some extent, working behind the scenes, ultimately, am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. I started in the year 2000 and in drag racing. It's like, there's a lot of leagues. I landed in drag racing, you know, with the NHRA, with 12-time Top Fuel world champion, Alan Johnson. And he has been my mentor. He's been my boss. He's been my biggest critic. He's been my biggest supporter for the last 20 years. So, and you know, something you had said during this reckoning, this last year, I thought about a lot of the blessings that I've had and the hard work I've put in motorsports. And I thought to myself, what am I leaving? What is my legacy going to be? What does this 20 years mean? And that's where Power Drive started. And I looked around the globe during that time, and I've seen women competing against men or with men in the NHRA for decades. And I looked around, and other leagues, there are no women. And I've really wanted to research and find out why. And that's complicated. That's a whole nother Oprah. But I found how to solve the problems. And that's what Power Drive is about. And, you know, I put the power of brands with the drive of these female athletes, put them together. And what we have is motorsport futures. And what I want to do and what I am doing is transcending motorsports. There's no reason at all why women should not be competing with men in Formula One, in NASCAR, in the highest forms of motorsport. IndyCar. They should all be there. It should be normalized. It shouldn't be just one. It should be many, because many are capable, many are deserving, and many are ready to get on that main stage.
Sponsor dollars play a big role
in that. Obviously, you saw that over the 20 years that you spent, you know, working for the other team. You saw the importance of perhaps move out of the good old boy network and into kind of corporate governance, and them kind of thinking, you know, maybe more astutely about who do we sponsor and how do we sponsor and what does this driver or this team kind of stand for? Yeah. So you've picked kind of a unique lane, certainly to some extent, because you're saying this part is really important. And so talk about how you're building this company and how you anticipate brands being able to interact with what you've built.
Well, I think it's very unique. I mean, it's filling a gap that needs to be filled. And what I love about Power Drive is because I'm not beholden to any league or any team. What I can do is come in and talk to you, and we can really dissect what your needs are as a marketer, as a brand, as a corporation, and take that wish list and look at the assets, right? I have 20 years of knowing people in motorsports. In motorsports, it's a vast platform, but it's a small world. So I have some of the most incredible people that I work with, that I collaborate with. And what I can do is put together a program, a package that fits your needs as a marketer. And so it's funny, Sean, because I was thinking earlier this morning, like, I'm going on this podcast. It's called the CMO Suite. They're going to be like, it's CMO. It's like every episode I've seen, it's CMOs. And I said, well, I'm a CMO. I'm a chief motorsport officer. What it does is it takes a comprehensive look at what your initiatives are, what they are in the future. And we can put together stories. We can put together athletes. We can put them together with teams that align with the brand's core value. It's not like a sponsorship salesperson calling up that works for one team in one league. It's a comprehensive look at motorsports and how Power Drive Motorsport Futures can come in and bring you the assets that you want.
You know, look, you looked at some of our previous guests. A lot of them are CMOs. A lot of them are VPs. A lot of them just sometimes need an idea, you know, and they're surrounded, especially if they in-house their agency, nothing wrong with that. But if they do, often they've kind of surrounded themselves perhaps with people who are looking up and kind of saying, well, what do you want me to say? And it's hard for them to maybe perhaps find the time to be able to look outside themselves or to come up with an idea that's a unique idea or an opportunity to say, why aren't we utilizing, if we're thinking of influencers or we're thinking of social media, why aren't we utilizing this space over here? Why aren't we trying to find somebody that can help us to link our brand just like you used to do with radio endorsers, just like we still do with radio endorsers to some extent? This is my brand. This is what I want it to represent. Where are there athletes that represent me? Clearly, we all know plenty of those in the male sports-dominated space. That comes with its own level of trickiness because sometimes those boys are bad boys. But on the female side, you know, there, other than Danica and perhaps a couple of others, it's hard to name enough that you feel like, why don't we know more names? And so, again, it sounds as if that's really the space you're trying to lock in.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're there. And, you know, I ask marketers, I ask them to always, and I have to do this, we all have to do this. We cannot allow ourselves to live in a bubble. And we have to look outside of what everybody's doing. I always say, if you have a great idea, it's not great yet. Think higher, keep thinking higher, keep digging deeper. And that's what I love to do. I have a thing on every Tuesday morning called the TAM Jam. I love creative jam sessions where people come on and we just talk about ideas. And the way you create is to collaborate. The way you create is to engage and share energy when you can. And people are gonna think of things you would have never thought of, or you could take their idea and bring it higher for them, or vice versa. And that's how we get to those next levels in marketing. That's how we do it. We don't do it by staying in sort of a cookie cutter mode or in a bubble. I've talked to so many people who have never been to an NHRA drag race, and they don't even know what it is. And it's the largest motorsport in the country. It's, you know, second to NASCAR in popularity. But what's happening, you know, on FS1 and on Fox Sports with that, the numbers, incremental growth for the last 6-7 years since they moved their media package to Fox. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't know that there are probably 3 or 4 girls right now that could be racing in the NASCAR Cup Series. They don't know who they are. I've got an open wheel racer who is a mechanical engineer that's going around and engaging and elevating women in tech. I'm pitching her. It's like nobody knows yet. And that's the thing. We need to start elevating women in motorsports, because 1 out of 2 new motorsport fans are women. And so, you know, and women also hold 85% of the purchasing decisions in the home. So we're filling it. We need to fill this gap, and we need to have strong athletes, strong teams, strong programs, you know, concentrated on growth, telling really authentic stories, taking the journey, you know, taking the consumer on the journey with us. And that's what PowerDrive does.
It's not just, you know, we need to make sure that we have enough females within our portfolio of athletes. It's more along the lines and to some extent of what you've just said, which is, look, your customers are here, and these are the people that they're looking up to. And so why wouldn't you want to invest in being in that, I don't want to say early stage, but in that stage that still continues, where there's demand and there's need. And again, perhaps as we continue to evolve as marketers, it's doing just what you've done, which is try to get the word out as much as you can, try to build those relationships as much as you can. As you do, and as those brands see success, then they drive your brand, you know, as PowerDrive Motorsports Futures, they drive that out there. And as people say, how did you do this, or who did you find? It's just that it's taking, you know, everything you've done and kind of continuing to build out your network. I know I've personally tried to do some additional introductions for you with other executives that I feel like are good opportunities for you to be able to kind of continue to get out there. And I feel pretty confident in the time that I've had a chance to know you that, you know, you'll be a good shepherd to those dollars for brands.
It's grassroots to global. I mean, you know, with PowerDrive, you know, I put together programs for people that, you know, start on the grassroots level and take it all the way up to the global level. I mean, we are in a global world. You know, you can be selling t-shirts, and it's if you have an internet store, it's global, right? And so it's a lot different now than it used to be. And there's so many opportunities to connect and tell those great stories. And, you know, it's definitely time for women to be out there in the highest forms of motorsports, and they're ready.
Who has been probably one of your biggest mentors in your life as a marketer?
Who's been a great mentor for you?
I have to be honest. I'm transparent and I'm authentic. I have to be honest. And he is never going to let me live this down. Brad Samuel, Epic Media Consulting. I've known him for 20 years. He is the most incredibly talented marketer I have ever met in my life. And if I've got something, he just pops the answers out. He is just so seasoned and so kind and so generous with his wisdom. It would have to be Brad Samuel at Epic Media Consulting.
In some ways, whether you're
male or female, to have people who believe in you, yeah, even when you fail, go out, give it a try. You will never win if you don't at least step up to the plate, or I guess get behind the wheel. I'm trying to find the best racing analogy that's there. So listen, Tammy Powers, founder at PowerDrive Motorsports Futures, Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of the CMO Suite.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for hanging out in the CMO Suite. The podcast for marketers who want to be in the know, presented by Connectivity Holdings.
You're a C-level manager. You shouldn't have to know the difference between behavioral or contextual targeting, but your agency should. Uconnects provides brands and biddable teams direct access to platforms like The Trade Desk, Google, Amazon, Facebook, OTT, and more. Their U.S.-based traders can train your in-house team or provide complete transparency with no minimums and CPM-based service pricing for true transparency. Something Mighty Hive, The Trade Desk, and Centro simply don't offer. Tired of being the smartest one in the room? Reach out to Uconnects today for a free demo. Uconnects, the world's leader in true, transparent, biddable media.
This episode of the CMO Suite is also brought to you by Winmo. Winmo is the most comprehensive and widely used advertising database, providing an unfair advantage to media and marketing professionals nationwide. CMO Suite listeners receive complimentary trials of Winmo just by visiting winmo.com/CMO Suite.